Well, kicking off this week's show, let's get right into the One Update.
It's time for One Update
on Culture Shift.
Joining me in studio live is WDET's Nate Bender. He's a longtime gaming journalist and the host of the daily gaming news podcast called Let's Play. And every week, we talk about some of the big issues going on in the gaming world, in the streaming world, in the world of tech and entertainment. And Nate, this week, we've got some news to get into, but our big conversation is going to be about the release of that trailer for Gran Turismo. A lot of people are very, very excited for this film.
Yeah, and I think the reason why people are excited about this film is going to surprise some people. But yeah, we've got a good friend of mine and a colleague, Robbie Landis, here to talk about the video game adaptations that have been coming out recently and that will be forthcoming, and really excited to talk about that. But yes, let's talk a couple of pieces of news here. So I just want to kind of set the stage for you, right? Let's say that you're really into a collectible card game. Let's call it Magic the Gathering. And let's say you're so into it that you start a YouTube channel talking all about it, the cards, the rarity, the different deck strategies. This is the entire, and it becomes like the entirety of your career. And you get so big that the people who make this card game, Wizards of the Coast, start sending you boxes and packs to open live on your channel. They accidentally send you a series that has not been released yet. It's supposed to come out in May, like on May 12th. And instead of calling you or emailing you, they send the Pinkertons. They send
what?
Armed thugs to your house to collect the cards that they sent you.
Wait,
this is a real story.
Wait, like the detective agency from like the turn of the century? Like not Latin, like not this one, the one before?
The 173-year-old detective agency, the Pinkertons, were sent to old school MTG's house to collect a box of cards that Wizards of the Coast had sent to him. It is a absolutely wild story. On April 23rd, a couple of days after Old School MTG posted his video opening these card packs, Old School MTG was woken up by the Pinkertons knocking at his front door. The Pinkertons were described as, quote, big heavy hitters. And there were what they called they were there for what they called the stolen product, which I don't know how you steal something that was sent to you, but okay. They also warned him of potential arrest and legal action if Old School MTG didn't comply. Wizards of the Coast has since apologized to Old School MTG for the excessive force and the return of the unreleased content and has worked with him to refund the money that he spent on the sets.
I got to say, how do we know this isn't a massive double ad campaign?
You know, that is actually that had not occurred to me. That I had not thought about that.
Were the Pinkertons dressed up as goblins?
No, they weren't.
Trolls,
no, I don't think so. No, they
right,
didn't have
no
wizard robes either. So, you know, it's
lost. Yeah, fail. Right.
How wild is that? Like you open a box of cards and the next thing you know, detectives are at your front door. Weird. So there has been a major movement in the acquisition of Activision Blizzard. I'm only going to lightly touch on this, but the United Kingdom's Competition and Markets Authority has ruled against Microsoft's $68.7 billion acquisition of Activision Blizzard. They are currently taking this back to the tribunal. It's going to take 6 to 9 months to get a ruling on that. Microsoft obviously has been pouting in the media ever since then, and it's clear that they're going to have to make some concessions here, whether it's divesting a portion of one of these companies to be able to satisfy the CMA. That's going to be the interesting part, because what the CMA has alerted cited as the trouble area would be the percentage of the cloud gaming market that Microsoft would own after that acquisition. So very interesting developments there. Did not think that the Competition and Markets Authority would end up blocking that deal, but we'll see how that ends up moving forward.
Nearly $70 billion deal right there.
Yep, and the brakes have been officially applied. So this is essentially secured that this deal is not happening within this calendar year. And then our last story here, unfortunately, the news site Vice has shut down its gaming vertical Waypoint. Last Thursday, Waypoint staff tweeted out that they had been laid off. Former writer Patrick Klepek confirming all Waypoint staff were affected. On the Waypoint Radio podcast, they revealed that the Waypoint layoffs are part of a larger downsizing at Vice, with approximately 100 staff affected out of the 3,000 that work at Vice. So just another gaming news organization, contained within a larger organization that has met its end. So that's just a little bit of what has been going on in the gaming news. So let's talk about the big news from this week, and this was one that really, really got my attention, and that's the trailer for the Gran Turismo movie.
What is this?
It's a contest.
The best Gran Turismo players in the world get a chance to compete in professional racing.
Dude, this is real.
This is real.
I'm sorry. You really think you're going to take a kid who plays video games in their bedroom, you're going to strap him to a 200-mile-an-hour rocket? It'll tear him to pieces.
All right, okay. The internet's going insane over this.
Yes, and for really good reason. And I have brought a good friend of mine who is a writer for Esports Illustrated, Robbie Landis, here to the conversation to talk about this. Robbie, welcome into the One Update.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, as always.
So tell me a little bit about the story behind this Gran Turismo movie, because this is based on an amazing true story.
Yeah, so this is definitely a lot different than what we expect when we hear of a video game movie adaptation. And it actually starts all the way back in 2011. Sony and PlayStation 3 had created the Gran Turismo Academy, where they had 9,000 entrants that were competing to win a seat with Nissan at the Dubai 24 Hour. And it was British... his name is escaping me here now really quick.
Jan Martinborough. Yep.
Yeah. Who has now had a 12-year career racing. He's been in, like, you know, the 24 Hours of Le Mans, Japan Super GT Series. So, it's not just creating a movie based on the game. This is real life. This is an actual, you know, video game story that happened. And, you know, the trailer looks phenomenal. It has Orlando Bloom's in it. David Harbour is in it. And it's really giving me vibes like this could be esports' first movie that is on par with the way that we remember the Titans or Field of Dreams, both also based on true stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the most interesting aspect to this adaptation, because most of the time when we think video game adaptations, we think, OK, they're going to take the character from the game and they're going to put them on the silver screen and that's going to translate. And as we know, that doesn't always translate. I think this is one of the most creative ways to be able to present something like Gran Turismo. I have seen absolutely zero criticism of this. And Robbie, I think you are 100% right. This is being presented like it's a sports movie. Field of Dreams. You know, these are classic films. And I think you really nailed it, that this might be the very first esports movie.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something to look forward to. You know, when you take a video game that already has a story, there are certain expectations that come along with it. You have diehard fans who have probably been playing and following this franchise for the majority of their life that are expecting things to unfold a certain way. They're expecting characters, they're expecting the world to be presented to their expectations. And there's always something that is lost or changed in translation from one medium to another. I have high hopes for this, even not being, you know, a racing or a Gran Turismo fan myself, because this is a real human story that's being told here. And, you know, I think that with, you know, recently, you know, we've seen things like Ted Lasso. You know, not everyone's into soccer, football, depending on where you are. But people love that show because of the human element to it and everything that I think you need for a real compelling, you know, sports, esports movie is already right here in the DNA of the story.
Absolutely. And super excited for the Gran Turismo movie. Let's actually kind of turn now to the Super Mario Brothers movie this week, cresting $1 billion at the box office. This is a major, major milestone for really any animated movie, but also any movie period. This is one of the most solid adaptations that I've seen so far for video game to movie here, cresting $1 billion. That is really remarkable.
Yeah, Nintendo's definitely on a roll as far as their movies go. A couple years ago, we got the Detective Pikachu movie. There's been a sequel in the works for a while. I'm honestly surprised that we haven't seen it yet. Sonic the Hedgehog did really well with both 1 and 2. So, you know, with their golden child, Mario, I don't think that any of us should be surprised that it took as long as it did, that they handled it with such care, and that that we got the film that we did.
Absolutely. And honestly, it really is. And I know I've talked this up for a couple of weeks. It really is a very excellent family film. So one of the things that is I think especially memorable from the Super Mario Brothers movie is Jack Black's performance as Bowser. And one of the things that has really gone viral in the last couple of weeks since this movie has come out has been the single that has now been officially released with music video and all of Peaches.
This one is for my one and only true love. Princess Peach. Peach, you're so cool. And with my star, we're gonna rule. Peach, understand. I'm gonna love you till the very end. Peaches, 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 peaches.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, you get
weird.
You get a free Tenacious D single with your Mario Brothers movie. But honestly, I think $1 billion at the box office, well earned, great adaptation, done with a lot of care to the original series and the original source material, and just plain funny as well.
I got a question, Robbie. Amanda here. We're talking about the quality of these films has been increasing, and I think it correlates very well to how Marvel and DC and comic book characters were pretty goofy for a very long time and then began taking on more serious, more human tones. Do you also think that this is just a demographic thing as well, where we have millennials who grew up playing these games their whole life, now into adulthood, have their own kids and able to, support more game adaptations?
Yeah, I think that there are two major things that go into it. And the fact that people who grew up, you know, playing these games, reading these comics, are now in positions where they get to help make the decision. They get to help, you know, craft these projects, I think is a big part of it. And I think the other part of it is that studios who own these IPs are now taking a more direct approach. You know, you mentioned Marvel and like comic books, and depending on who you ask, Marvel has obviously been in a lot more in control of their IP than DC has, but it's also Marvel who's making these movies, whereas it's Warner Brothers who's making DC. And again, with the Nintendo stuff, you know, we've heard lots of stories about how hands-on Nintendo is with their IPs with their products. We are a far cry from where we used to be, where Hollywood would just buy the rights to something and then just, you know, make off with whatever it is that they were going to do, trying to create movies that they thought would, you know, reach the broadest audience and impress the most people, instead of focusing on what made these characters in these worlds so special to the fans.
Yeah, and I think that there's something that has to be mentioned here as well, and that is hiring writers that understand and have a personal connection to the source material. And I think, you know, that was critical both in superhero movies, and I think it is very critical, and we see the difference in a lot of these video game adaptations when somebody does. And, you know, I kind of want to give one of the last words here, moving from the big screen now over to the small screen, to Craig Mazin. Of course, we are dealing with the Writers Guild of America's strike right now. And Craig Mazin was the showrunner and one of the creative forces behind The Last of Us TV show, which has just reached millions of people, each episode reaching an average of 30 million after the premiere. Craig Mazin was recently interviewed by the LA Times on a roundtable interview, and he had this to say about the WGA strike.
It's a tough job because you're not just working with Warner Brothers and Disney, and right. You're also there's Apple. Mm-hmm. Apple has more money than most nations.
Yeah.
Right. So it is a different thing, and yet they all are together as one thing called the AMPTP, and we're over here as the WGA. And I just think, I always, you know, obviously hope for the best, but the people that I'm, you know, rooting for the most are the people that, you know, like Bill said, need to be able to come up. We need to be able to raise kids up. I didn't have, you know, my parents were public school teachers. I grew up on Staten Island, the Pete Davidson part of Staten Island, not the Colin Jost part of Staten Island.
That's my father.
And, you know, when I came out here, I had nothing. I started calling up temp agencies. You know, I was like 2 weeks away from getting, you know, having to live on the street. And you could still make your way, and that is being eliminated.
Yeah, Craig Mazin on the WGA strike, and it's really important to have talents like that who understand the source material when adapting a project like The Last of Us, and the numbers speak for themselves. You don't hit 30 million each episode after the premiere without really having some quality in there. So Robbie Landis, writer for Esports Illustrated, thank you for joining us for this conversation. Where can folks find you online?
They can find me at Twitter at Robbie_Landis01 and live streaming over on Twitch at Robbie_Landis.
It's great talking to you as always.
101.9 WDET. We've been doing the one update here on Culture Shift. Nate, thank you so much. Quickly, what are you playing this week?
So I am playing a modded version of Fallout 4 on my Steam Deck, and just really excited that I can get mods to work on my Steam Deck.
All right, thank you so much. It is WDET. We are Detroit's NPR station. A lot of great stuff coming up to you. Tia Grail will be with us in just a little bit. Right now in the city of Detroit, 60 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Getting a little more cloudy as the day goes on, according to the weather forecast, so be prepared for that. 16 Celsius for our friends over in Windsor.